Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And thanks for checking out another installment of Growing the Game with Ballsy. I really appreciate it. Spread it to your friends and those in the football community so we can continue to support and prop up the sport we love through this trying COVID-19 time. We're going to hear from Rams legendary coach Frank McChrystal about some of the great players from the program playing in the NFL, which we don't talk about nearly enough. Before that, though, let's look at our sponsors and recognize them. Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage in Regina, getting the real estate game with the three-time Grey Cup champ, 306-502-5355, the number to call. Riviere Ag Seeds out there in Radville, thanks to Paul Riviere and his great family for their support of this podcast. Also, Face First Medical Aesthetics above Gabo's on Dudney Avenue in downtown Regina. Check them out. Ask them about birthday Botox and a discount there. And for guys, Brotox. Yeah, don't forget about your face, too. Pizza Hut's in Saskatchewan. Thanks to David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies for their support of this podcast and for the game of football at the grassroots level. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn. Want to thank Corey Zadorozniak and his crew over there. Double Z Ag Sales in Weyburn for grain hauling, grain marketing, and crop insurance. Give him a call. And Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. And we kick off this Growing the Game with Ballsy podcast by talking with former Rams coaching legend Frank McChrystal. And we're talking about a couple of the key names that played with the Rams back in the day who are making their mark and continue to make their mark in the NFL. Something I don't think the Rams, the university, even the media around here does a good enough job promoting. That from little old Regina, we've had a guy like John Ryan win a Super Bowl. That Akeem Hicks, second best defender on the Chicago Bears, played for the Regina Rams. Brent Jones, offensive lineman with the Minnesota Vikings. Stephon Charles bounced around the NFL before settling with the Edmonton Eskimos. Lots of great players coming from little old Regina, not only playing in the CFL, but the NFL. Oh, and I forgot to mention the guy who just recently got a pick six, Tavon Campbell. Let's talk to Frank McChrystal about that. Frank, how are you faring in this weird world of COVID that just won't seem to go away?
I don't know, Mike. It's okay. As a retired guy, it doesn't change a whole lot for me. I have a new grandson, mm-hmm. So that takes up some time. And I get up in the morning and watch a little TLC, and you know how it is. But like a 90-day fiance, very exciting stuff.
That's great. How's the grandbaby?
He is very good. He's a very good baby, and he consumes your time, but he's actually lots of fun. And mm-hmm. I talked to my good friend, your good friend and mine, Bernie Schmidt, and we are committed to not changing any more diapers. So now I'm not going to let the little guy sit too long in his stuff, but I've changed a couple pee diapers, but yeah. none of the big load stuff.
Okay.
So, and Bernie says, don't do it. Don't start doing it.
So you're late 70s. You should be able to put on a toque and coach him a little high school football or something, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could. I throw on the toque most days, actually. So I go for walks. So
that's
okay.
Good. The mustache will just have some more gray in it by the time you're coaching your grandson.
Well, the old mustache had a lot of gray in it. That's part of why I took it off, I think. So.
There you go. Hey, Frank, so let's talk about this, man. We don't talk about this enough. What little old Regina did when you were running the show, we've got the best defender on the Bears outside of Khalil Mack, but I'd say probably Akeem Hicks is the best defender on the Chicago Bears. Let's talk about him first. Here's a guy that would have been out of football. He was working for what, like a cable company when you finally got him back playing here.
Direct West, yeah. So he was selling. He tells me he was selling lots there, which I do believe him. So
he's not selling $40 million a year worth, or whatever it is.
No. He actually is fantastic. You know, because his big thing was that he could play more than one position. You know, he could play the nose. He can play the tackle position. He can play the end position. He can rush the quarterback. He can stop the run. He's a pretty complete defensive lineman, maybe the most complete defensive lineman in the league right now.
Did you see that when he was here, though, Frank? I mean, you had him, you had Stephon Charles on the D-line. You guys had a pretty good team. Did you see shades of that when he played here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the big thing. And I think, we had him for 2 years here before he ended up in the draft, in the NFL draft. I'm not convinced that we always used him as well as we could have and should have. I mean, we even played around with him on short yardage in the backfield. We had the battle to convince people where he should play. And the fact is that he could play anywhere. And that was the big sell for us. When we pushed to get him in the Shrine game, he was overlooked, obviously, for the Senior Bowl because of circumstances down there in the States, which is sort of their big bowl game. But he was, we were able to get him in the Shrine game, which, again, that really helped him get drafted.
How much convincing did it take for you to get him to come here?
To come here?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I was down there. He was down by Denver, Colorado Springs, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
I was down there, I think, 3 times. I met his mom, and we talked, and he was, I mean, obviously, like, you have to appreciate it. Like, he was a giant. He was a huge man, mm-hmm. but he was only 19 years old.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
He was just a kid, and it's kind of a scary thing to come up here to Canada, and how am I going to fit? You know, what am I going to look like wandering around up there? And so I think that it was he took a chance, you know.
Yeah,
he took a chance on us, and certainly we looked pretty hard about him and tried to figure out how he would fit in with us and arrange things up here so he would feel safe and his family would feel safe, his mom feel safe with him. And the biggest thing was getting his birth certificate and then getting his passport was the biggest battle of all. So,
hey, were you around? Is it true that he drank 40 beer in one night at the Owl? Is that a true story?
The only guy that can drink 40 beer is one of our directors, the infamous Doug McKillop. He's the only guy in the Regina Rams to ever drink 40 beer at one sitting. So, you know, it's funny. I don't want to wreck Akeem's story, but, first of all, Akeem wasn't really a drinker.
Yeah.
And he didn't. I mean that in a very good sense. He wasn't like some fellows that we used to have, Michael, but he was... Yeah. No, we never drank 40 beer. Absolutely not.
I love it. At least he got the Rams some notoriety when they were talking about it on Monday Night Football.
Hey, wow, yeah. And you know what? You might be able to drink 40 of those American beers that are just like water.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't drink 40 Molson. Come on, man.
Exactly. Okay, so Frank, he's a guy that did go and play in the NFL in the backfield and score a touchdown for the Bears in a game. So we've got a former Ram that scored a touchdown running it. John Ryan threw a touchdown pass. So there's another guy. So there's another guy from the Rams. And then you just saw Tavon Campbell with a pick six against the New York Jets playing for the LA Chargers. Now, just your thoughts on Tavon Campbell. Did you see this greatness when he played for the Rams? Because let's be honest, I was the voice of the Rams. I'm going to be honest. I knew he was a good athlete, but he didn't jump off the map where you'd say that's an NFL caliber player. And when he played in the CFL, he never really jumped off the map either. He kind of just bounced around team to team.
You know, it's a lot of times it's being right place at the right time. Now, you know, with us, Tavon, you know, as much as Akeem, it was a culture shock for him to come here. It's the same way for those guys from Toronto and Scarborough and stuff to come to Saskatchewan and deal with the Saskatchewan winter and all of those things. So Tavon had to deal with that. He also he had a couple injuries that mm-hmm. hurt him in that 8-game schedule. But I always felt that he had a great deal more potential. The one thing that surprised me, Mike, is one of the interviews that he did, he said that we didn't want him to run track. Well, I haven't talked to Vaughn about that, but we did suggest and encourage him to run track, mm-hmm. you know, like we did with John Ryan. In fact, he was the guy that I think in terms of the school, Devon Campbell owned the 60-meter record, but John Ryan was also a 60-meter guy and did very well in the Can-West Conferences championships when he ran it. So, you know, did I see it? I saw a terrific athlete, a really good guy, and a very good student. Like he, Tavon would have come away with a degree in admin. So, lots of potential. You got to be right place, right time, and you know, speed is speed and quickness is the deal down there.
Yeah, you can't coach speed, and he's got it. That's why he's on the field for sure. He did say some good things about you when I talked to him, like in the offseason, last offseason. He said, you know, Frank was a guy that really helped me transition in Regina and really looks after his players. And everybody says that about you. Okay, last guy that's in the league right now, he was with the Giants. He'll forever go down as a guy that was on one of the best Super Bowl commercials ever, Brett Jones and that New York Giants with Odell Beckham Jr. and Eli Manning. But he goes from the Giants to the Vikings, gets cut, goes in their practice roster, and according to Pro Football Focus, graded out really well in their game against the Dallas Cowboys. Brett Jones, you think about little old Weyburn, Brett Jones and Brendan Labatt, who's going to go down as one of the best offensive linemen in the last 20, 25 years in the CFL.
Well, you see, you know, Brett Jones is a guy, like, I mean, I get frustrated watching because Brett Jones should have been starting. Probably. He's been in there 7 years. He probably should have been starting at least 6 of the 7 years. Like, give him a year to find his chance. I mean, this is a very, very good football player. And you talk about versatility with Akeem on the D-line. Brett can play either guard, and he can play center. And he should be playing the thing that I think, you know, it sounds a little bit outside of philosophy and stuff. I think just in terms of practical, these guys have cost Brett money by not playing him. Because Brett is a legit $3-5 million a year guy on an offensive line as a starting position. And you know, you would hope that after what he's done here in this game, again, every time he gets in the game, it shows that he can play and he should be playing. You would be hopeful that they would say, listen, we've got to play this guy. This guy is valuable.
Yeah. So, no, for sure.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And Frank, lastly, before I let you go, how concerned are you going forward? We're supposed to, well, they're saying we're getting this vaccine coming up next year, but how concerned are you about your former team, the Rams, and the viability of not only their football program, but just university sports going forward? It could be a different looking world on the other side of this COVID.
I think it's going to be a different world, and I think there's going to be greater awareness. And I you know, I'm certainly no expert, Mike, but I just know what I would be doing if I was there, and certainly there would be more awareness. I think it, again, pushes for, you know, the size of your roster. Instead of being 100 guys, being the kind of roster that we kept, I think it's just going to be different in that sense. Will it go forward? Will we lose some teams and some programs? We were losing teams and programs before COVID arrived. Yeah. So will we lose some after? I don't think anybody should be surprised if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know what? In hindsight always being 2020, you and I had discussions about extending the roster, and I was an advocate of it, and you were what's weird about today, Frank, is when you and I used to be on opposite sides, we got along and drank beer and had a good time. Now you end up fighting in today's world, but you look at it, you and I talked about this, and you said there comes a myriad of problems when you add more guys to the roster. Yeah, it might help you depth-wise with injuries, but are you adding the right players? How do you afford all of that? And that might come back to rear its ugly head here with an expanded roster and how much scholarship you can hand out and dollars tightening up.
Well, you know, again, there's a whole number of things we could talk about. But what I always went back to is I think big rosters give you lazy coaches because they can't. It's easy then to say, okay, let's get this guy. Here's my 99th guy. You go in and cover. You go in and cover John Ryan, or you go in and cover Jason Claremont in this scout as a scout team. Well, does Jason Claremont get any better? You know, when he's running routes again with that guy, you have to organize your practice, make sure that your players are challenged, and they're challenged by putting the best people forward. When we were there, our starting quarterbacks would often throw in the scout team for the defense. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, then everybody, the one thing, and I had other CIS coaches talk to me about roster sizes. Whenever you talk to them, the one thing that always came out is everybody gets better because everybody is challenged every day. And they talk about challenging in practice. Well, if you want to challenge in practice, make sure that you're putting the right guys against each other.
Yeah, you're right. Dan Farthing told me the same thing. He said, you know, when I came to the Riders from the U of S, I put moves on guys in practice. If you weren't going against the top two guys, you're not going against three or four or five. You had to challenge yourself. I come to the CFL, I'm putting these moves on against guys from the Pac-10, the Big Ten, the Pac-12 or whatever, and it wasn't working. So I was like, yeah, because if you're not challenging yourself in practice and getting better, you're not going to be good at the next level.
You know, I always had this challenge, and Cal Murphy, yep. I said, Cal, what did you do? And he says, you got to help each other, man. The offense has to help the defense and vice versa. And so that's what we did.
Yeah. Frank, we'll let you go. I know you got a dentist appointment. That's good. I want to keep you maintained so we can continue to have you for a guest.
Right on, baby.
See you, bud. Okay. Take care, man.
Talk
Bye.
To you.
Bye. Bye. Time for the Pick 6, brought to you by Sasalex Football, building the gridiron stars of tomorrow today. Now, even though we're approaching the final stretch of the NFL's regular season, a lot can change between now and whenever a Super Bowl champ is eventually crowned in Tampa. Of course, COVID and injuries being the biggest two humps that we have to get over. As we saw by watching the pathetic Broncos game last Sunday, the quarterback position is the most important position in North American sports. So with that in mind, here are the 6 quarterbacks to keep an eye on down the stretch. Number 1, in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers. Now, there aren't many quarterbacks in NFL history who can appreciate more than Rodgers just how hard it is to win a Super Bowl. He's gotten there just once in his 15-year Hall of Fame career. Now, with the NFC wide open, Rodgers well-positioned to get back for the first time since 2010. The Packers have a healthy Rodgers and no real powerhouse to contend with in the conference. Green Bay ranks 3rd offensively and is relatively healthy. Rodgers might not get another crack this good to return to the Super Bowl and win his 2nd Lombardi. Number 2, Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quarterbacks are playing longer than ever before, but Big Ben will be 39 going into the 2021 season. The Steelers are the league's last remaining undefeated team, barely getting by Baltimore. And, you know, each conference this year, the top team gets a first-round bye. Finishing with the top seed, I would think, has even greater importance than in past years. Roethlisberger won his first Super Bowl after the 2005 season, his 2nd after 2008. He got there again in 2010. Now, 3 Super Bowl appearances and 2 titles in the first 7 seasons, that's pretty good. But since then, the Steelers have gotten past the divisional round just 1 time. The list of starting quarterbacks who have won at least 3 Super Bowls: Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman. Given Big Ben's age, he is unlikely to have an opportunity this good again. Number 3 quarterback to watch on Ballsy's Pick 6, Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns. The good news? The Browns are 8-3 and have almost an 80% chance of making the playoffs. Now, they're the Browns. They could screw that up. Some other bad news: Mayfield has been mostly mediocre. Now, he has cut down on his turnovers, 8 compared to 23 last season at this point so far. He's made some great throws, but he's also missed some really, really, really easy ones. It comes down to this, as I see it: can the Browns do better? That answer will depend on how Mayfield finishes this season. If he plays well and they make some noise in the playoffs, then it makes sense to pick up his 5th-year option, which would mean guaranteeing his salary for 2022. If he plays poorly and the Browns feel like they can take a step forward with a better quarterback, then maybe the search for an upgrade in the offseason begins. That'll be an interesting story. But Cleveland's 8-3. That's Coach of the Year material for Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. Number 4 quarterback to watch: Old Man Rivers. Yes, if the season ended today, the Colts would face a tough decision about what to do with their quarterback situation for 2021. Phillip and Jacoby Brissett are scheduled to be free agents. Now, I'm a big Rivers fan, but I would say he's been fine. Not great and not terrible. He has cut down on his turnovers, 9 this year compared to 23 last year. He's also 39 like Big Ben and has all the mobility of a park bench, which doesn't really suit today's game. The Colts project to have among the most cap space in 2021. They could talk themselves into another one-year deal with Rivers and upgrade the weapons around him, or they could take a swing for a Sam Darnold type. A lot will depend on how they go down the stretch and into the playoffs. If I'm them and I don't go with Rivers, I would look at Darnold or even Carson Wentz since everybody wants to run him out of town. Number 5, Derek Carr, the Raiders quarterback. A few weeks ago, the Raiders beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead and almost beat them 2 weeks ago again in Las Vegas. But last week, they got killed by lowly Atlanta. And for the most part, Carr's been pretty good. If he finishes strong and the Raiders make the playoffs, their decision should be relatively easy retain Carr. But if it goes the other way, and it could, judging by last week's effort against Hotlanta, it could be an interesting offseason for the Raiders. And Jared Goff of the Rams. He goes into Thursday Night Football against the Patriots. He should work at a bakery because he's an absolute turnover machine. The Rams have great receivers, lots of complimentary running backs, and a stout defense that can match up with any team. But the $100 million man, Jared Goff, keeps handing out Christmas gifts to opponents. He turned it over 3 times last week in a horrible loss to the 49ers. So I'm interested to see how he performs down the stretch and into the playoffs starting tonight against the New England Patriots. That's Ballsy's Pick 6 for SAS Selects Football.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.